Thank you for joining me for worship today. Today is the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. Our order of service begins in the bulletin. We're going to open right now with hymn number 873, Rise My Soul to Watch and Pray. It's 472 in the red. Confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful. I have disobeyed you and justly deserve your punishment both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for the evil I have thought, spoken, and done. And for the sake of my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us.
I now ask you before God, who searches the heart, do you confess your sins of thought, word, and deed? Are you sorry for your sins? Do you look to our Savior, Jesus Christ, for forgiveness? And with the Holy Spirit's help, do you want to correct your sinful life? Then declare so by saying yes.
Yes.
Upon this confession, I, as a called servant of the Word, announce to you God's grace and the forgiveness of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Old Testament reading for this 10th Sunday after Pentecost is a continuation of last week's Old Testament reading when the three visitors came to see Abraham, the Lord, and two angels. And in this section, the Lord tells Abraham how Sodom and Gomorrah were going to be destroyed, but we see how Abraham prayed for the people of those cities, even with their wickedness. Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people?" "If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" He said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." Of course, Abraham wasn't thrilled with the wickedness of the city, but he was looking for the Lord to be gracious, and how we also would wish that the Lord would be gracious on those who have rejected him and give them more and more time to learn about our amazing Savior. Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Our Old Testament reading showed us Abraham's fervent prayer. Our gospel reading has the disciples asking Jesus to teach them how to pray, from Luke 11, verses 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, Yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And let's continue now with our next hymn, hymn number 869, Onward Christian Soldiers, 537 in the Red Book. Savior, be with us always. Amen. The Word of God we want to consider this 10th Sunday after Pentecost is our epistle reading from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 15, where the Apostle Paul said, So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Let's bow our heads for prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Lord, our strength and our salvation. Amen. My dear friends, who were dead but are alive through faith in Christ. After Jesus miraculously fed the 5,000 with just that little bit of bread and fish, after he performed that great miracle, what he did is he sent the disciples across the Sea of Galilee while he went up into a mountainside to pray. And after several hours of his prayer in the mountainside, after several hours of that, the disciples were out there in the Sea of Galilee and they were being tossed about by a terrible storm. But Jesus walked out on the water to them. And at first they were afraid. And when Jesus told them, don't be afraid, that he wasn't a ghost, then what happened is that the apostle Peter said to Jesus, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus simply said, come. And Peter, exhibiting quite a faith at first, he got out of the boat, started walking on the water. But then we know what happened there. What happened is that, yeah, he had the faith to get out of the boat, but when he saw the wind and the waves, when he saw that, he said, people don't walk on water, at least not when it's not frozen. But he said, people don't walk on the water, and he began to sink. However, if Peter had continued to look to the Lord Jesus, well, the wind and the waves would have still been there. Could have gotten even worse, I suppose, but he wouldn't have sunk if he would have continued to look to Jesus, if he would have continued to look to Jesus. The only reason why he sank under those circumstances is because he failed to trust in Jesus. This illustrates what the Apostle Paul is telling us in our reading today. We live in a sinful world with its trials and troubles and tribulations, with the wind and the waves of this life all around us all the time. And we can expect that to continue. We live in a sinful world. But as long as we continue in faith to look to Jesus, our Savior, the fact of the matter is that the wind and the wave will always be there. They'll always be there. But we won't ever have to sink when in faith we look to our Lord and Savior. They, the wind and the waves of this world, life's trials, troubles, tribulations, temptations, they can't sink us when we're looking to Jesus. That's why Paul tells us today, continue to live in Christ. Continue to live in Christ. Well, living in Christ, it's not going to get rid of the sin that's in the world. And it's not going to get rid of the problems that are caused by sin. But Christ will give us the help and the strength that we need to fight against all that Satan, sin, the unbelieving world, our sinful flesh would throw our way to try to tear us away from God. So let's continue to live in Christ by growing in faith in Him and by treasuring all that the God-man has done for us to be our Savior and to win for us heaven. We've been looking at the book of Colossians for the last couple weeks, and we've heard about how heresy had come to Colossae. The church was struggling with those false teachers who wanted to bypass Christ. They said that what Christ did for them was great, but they still had to do more to be sure of heaven. Well, Paul said, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. How had those Colossians received Christ, as he says here? What happened with them is what happens really for all believing children of God. They and we received Christ when the Holy Spirit graciously worked through the Word of God, perhaps at the time of our baptisms, to call us to faith and make us believing children of God. And the point is that we've received Christ totally because of God's work and not because of our own work. It's not that we accepted Him as our Savior, it's that He accepted us into His believing family. Therefore, he says, as we've received Him, which was totally His work, so now we need to continue to live in Him. And continuing to live in Him means that we keep on believing that our good works don't earn us heaven. Our efforts at keeping God's law don't get us to heaven. Remembering that, and then also continuing to look to Christ and what He's done for us, which totally gets us into heaven. But now, how do we continue to live in Christ? Well, by growing in faith in Him. Paul said, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. When we were called to faith, we were, as Paul pictures it here, rooted in Christ as our all-sufficient Savior. But now what we need to do is continue to draw strength and nourishment from Him, sending our faith roots ever deeper down into Christ so that we can, well, draw nourishment from Jesus and His Word. Just as a tree, what a tree does as it grows, as it matures, it keeps on sending its roots down deeper into the ground to grab nourishment from the earth. And the more we Christians use the Word and the sacraments, the deeper our faith roots anchor into Christ, and the less likely we are going to be blown over by the storms of false teaching, the fierce winds of life's troubles, and the drought of just living in this sinful world. Those things, they're not going to be able to tear us away from the Savior when we're deeply rooted in the Word of God. We who are rooted in the Word of God like that, we need to always be built up and strengthened to keep on growing in the faith. And that growth occurs when God's word reminds us that we are weak on our own, but God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. When we're rooted, built up, and strengthened by Jesus and his word, then what's going to happen is we're going to overflow with thankfulness, as Paul says here, because of the storms that have been around. We've probably all seen trees that have toppled down because, well, their roots were pulled right out of the ground. And now you and I could be in the same boat spiritually if not for Christ and his word, just totally pulled out of the ground like that. So how can our lives be anything but overflowing with thankfulness when we remember that what Christ does is he empowers us to stand strong against the wind and the waves, the storms, the trials, the troubles, the temptations that are a part of living in this sinful world. Paul said, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." Maybe it's a little bit scary to think that there is so much religion that a person can get from different books and TV and from Facebook and from the internet. And is that a good or a bad thing? Well, the answer really depends on where we're getting our real spiritual strength and how we view religious books or TV or internet sources, things like that. Our real strength always needs to come from God's word and, well, from our church where we believe that God's word is taught in its truth and purity. Then if we feel the need to look to other sources, and there can be good sources out there, then we need to be careful. And as the Apostle John says, test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. We need to be careful because there are wolves in sheep's clothing out there that are trying to always lead us astray and trying to topple us and our faith, even if those wolves in sheep's clothing don't know that they're wolves in sheep's clothing. There was a family that had a pet raccoon named Jason, and the family would spend hours watching Jason wrestling with their little dog. However, one minute what Jason could do is he could snuggle up in your lap like a perfect pet, and then the next he could get involved in some fiendish antics because he had that wild side in him. If unrestrained, what would happen is he'd go after bird eggs and raid the garbage can and root up the flower bed. Although most often he could be a most delightful pet, the family could always see his wild instincts in him and motivating him to do these destructive acts. He always needed to keep a close eye on him because of that. And, well, see, now you and I are a lot like Jason. That's why you and I need to keep on growing in our faith in our Savior, keeping close to the Savior and his word, being richly filled with the word of God. In this life, you and I are always going to have a sinful nature, just like Jason would always have his wild instincts. But when we're close to God and his word, when we're richly filled with his word, then then God will be strengthening us and helping us to fight against our sinful nature. When that word isn't richly in our lives, when we're not close to the Savior and His word, then like Jason, we could end up eating bird eggs and raiding garbage cans and rooting up the flower bed. Well, Paul says, "For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." I don't think there are many people who would question that Jesus was true man, but he is also 100% true God. 100% man, 100% true God. A miracle, but that's what the Bible teaches us. And as such, as the 100% God, 100% man, the God-man, he's able to satisfy all of our spiritual needs. As true man, he was able to be our substitute by living and dying for us. And as true God, he was able to live a perfect life, keeping God's laws for us. And as the God-man, he was able to die a death that paid for the sins of the world, for every one of my sins, every one of your sins. And he was able to victoriously rise from the dead to prove to us that he had accomplished his mission, that he had won salvation for us, that he had fought against Satan and sin and won eternal salvation for us. Well, Paul says, "In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead." The false teachers in Colossae told the Christians there in Colossae that in order to be a real Christian, you had to believe in Jesus and be circumcised and follow all of those laws and ceremonies in the Old Testament. But Paul said that those extras were not required for salvation, that there is a better circumcision that takes place when you and I are called to faith, perhaps at the time of our baptism. But when we're called to faith, then our sin and our sinful nature was cut off so that instead of being slaves to Satan and sin, we benefit from what Christ has done for us and can also live for Christ. Paul said, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross." What God has done for us is something that is so absolutely amazing. When we were lost and condemned creatures, he graciously called us to faith and made us spiritually alive. He did all the work. Each of us is a sinner on whose best days we're still contaminated by sin. But God forgave us by sending his Son into the world for us and taking our sins with him to the cross. And there what he did is he canceled the written code, because the law requirements of perfection from us, they were fulfilled by Christ. We don't have to do that. Christ did it for us. Now, of course, what we want to do is work at keeping God's law, but not to earn heaven, but just to thank God for what he's done for us. Paul said, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." After Jesus accomplished his mission, you know, he said, "It is finished," there on the cross. Well, then after he did that, after he rose from the dead, what Jesus did is he descended into hell, not to suffer anymore, but to clearly proclaim to Satan and his evil allies that they had been defeated. And surely what we'll want to do is treasure all that our Savior, the God-man, has done for us, even his making a public spectacle of Satan and his evil allies, because by doing so, he surely defeated Satan and weakened his resolve to tempt us to forsake God. Many Americans have experienced the dieting routine, and it's estimated that more than one-third of the nation's population is interested in losing weight, probably more than a half, I don't know. But everyone knows that to succeed in dieting, you need to keep at it. You need to keep at it, yet many people fail. There was one woman who one time said, "I've lost 40 pounds. Her friend looked at her kind of doubting it, and then the lady continued, "Well, it's true, I've lost 5 pounds 8 times. Let's not be like that spiritually, where we periodically fast and then famine on God's word. Rather, let's always be striving to get closer to God and his word. You know, the Apostle Paul, he encourages us, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Let's continue to live in Christ by always growing in faith in him, by being close to the Savior and his word, and by treasuring all that Jesus, the God-man, has done for us, and by being so richly blessed then by our Savior. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And let's confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Let's pray. O Lord, your ears are always open to the prayers of your humble servants, who come to you in Jesus' name. Teach us always to ask according to your will, that we may never fail to obtain the blessings you have promised. We pray through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord God, please help us always to continue to look to you, to keep, well, looking to your word and sacraments so that we grow in our faith and treasure everything that you have done for us. The devil, the world, and our sinful flesh around us are always working to try to tear us away from you, but please help us to look to your words so that our faith roots are always growing down deeper into you and strengthening us to live in a sinful world and to be strong in you as we live in a sinful world. Lord God, we keep on praying for those on our prayer list dealing with different trials and troubles and aches and pains. Maybe think especially of Deb Spitzley, Christine Dries, Paula Burris, and others in our congregation, Colleen Webb, dealing with different trials and troubles and aches and pains. If it's your will, grant healing to them, to any with different trials and troubles, but always grant us that strength from your word that makes us really strong, strong in the Lord. And we gather up all of the prayers we have today as we join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Let's join in singing our prayer for our country. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Again, I'd say thank you for joining me for worship today. A couple quick announcements yet to share with you. Tuesday, Hunter Stanley's birthday. Wednesday, Gabriel Purdy. Thursday, Sue Patterson. I've already mentioned some of the people in our prayer list to keep in your prayers. Please remember your church family, and we'll all remember you as well. Thank you for joining us for worship today. The Lord bless and keep you always.